Today on Maine Calling, the love of trains. For some people, nothing beats the sound of a train whistle and the conductor's call, "All aboard!" Trains appeal to so many people, romantics, engineers, history buffs, and more. Here in Maine, summertime is prime time for scenic train rides. They include the Belfast and Moosehead Lake Railroad, the Down East Scenic Railroad, the Maine Narrow Gauge Railroad, the Sandy River and Rangeley Lakes Railroad, and the Sheepscot Valley Steam Train, all staffed by volunteers who love railroads. Of course, there's also the Amtrak Downeaster. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we meet a few of those enthusiasts who just live for trains. This program is part of our Passions and Pastimes series, a celebration of trains on Maine Calling. That's just ahead.
Maine Calling On Demand is made possible in part by Maine Farmland Trust, working with farmers to grow the future of farming and food in Maine. Learn how you can get involved at mainefarmlandtrust.org/learn. By Welch & Forbes, working with clients to manage the full range of events that come with building wealth, from investments to trustee services. More at WelchForbes.com. And by Maine Seacoast Mission, supporting Maine island communities through education, health, and community engagement. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. There's something about trains. They are the symbols of adventure as well as a slower pace of life, and they look and sound pretty cool. Today, as part of our Passions and Pastimes series, we are going to hear from train enthusiasts, sometimes called rail fans, and we're going to learn about ways to ride the rails in Maine. My guest today, Russ Barber, Vice President of the Maine Rail Group, and my colleague, George Thomas, volunteer conductor with Down East Scenic Railroad, Vice President and Treasurer of Down East Rail Heritage Preservation Trust, and radio and television operations producer with Maine Public Radio. You are going to recognize George's voice when you hear it. But we invite you to join the conversation. Are you fascinated by trains? Have you taken any memorable train rides? Send us a brief email, talk@mainepublic.org. Post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. And just a reminder, our Maine Calling phone number is different than the number to call for Maine Public's membership drive. The Maine Calling number, 1-800-399-3566. Today on Maine Calling, we will be emphasizing train enthusiasts. We are not talking about rail policy today. We will do a program on the future of rail service in Maine in the future. Well, George and Russell, thank you so much for being on the program. And George, thank you for the idea. So I didn't know you were a conductor, and I was wondering if you would mind starting the program by saying "All aboard."
As we start all of our charters, it's "All aboard."
Oh, and my goodness.
That begins the venture.
I love it. I love it. And I'm sure that people are thrilled to hear your voice saying "All aboard." So I want to start by asking you all, what is it about trains? What do you think it is, George? Why are they so romantic?
I think there's a number of reasons. A lot of people today don't have the opportunity to ride a train. There's something that they've seen in history, they've seen on TV and in motion pictures and in books, but they haven't had the actual experience because rail riding today for passenger service is quite limited. So it's a nostalgic look at the past, a time when many of people today, your parents, grandparents rode on trains all the time. Today, it's not a normal occurrence.
Russ, what would you add to that?
Oh, I think you could add a lot to that. I think that's true. We've moved away from passenger rail here in Maine, but a lot of the country is reestablishing it all over. My passion goes all the way back to childhood. My father worked for the Boston MBTA, and we spent vacations chasing trains. I've got railway disease pretty deep in my bones. I've been to China 6 times to see some of the last steam engines roaming. And I'm passionate about what we do with the main rail group, trying to get awareness that we should be developing more trains in Maine.
So let's talk again. I don't want to talk about policy on this program, and I don't want to talk about the future. We're going to talk about that. But tell us about your dad. You said you spent the time chasing trains.
Well, my father was like I say, he worked in the MBTA. Even as a child, he was he would he his he was allowed to roam around the MBTA, the what was the MTA then, the MBTA. And they had these fares where you could get a ticket to go on another line. And he would leave after school and he would leave after school and ride around on the trains and trolleys in Boston. And then at the age of 12, he wrote a letter to the MBTA, to the T, with some ideas on improving service. So one day, somebody came out to the house and wanted to hire him and said, "Where's Richard Barber?" And he said, "That's him over there playing on his bicycle." And he said, No, this guy did send all these ideas on improving the MBTA." He said, "No, that's that 12-year-old over there." So we used to do family vacations, the old-fashioned car trips around the country, and we'd invariably have a train place in the backyard. I volunteer on the Belfast and Moosehead Lake Railroad. So on my off days from the ferry, I'm down there helping run that line just the same way George is, I have same kind of passion. So, and I'll finish with one last thing. I have my own railroad car. I have a 1902 bang on a rustic post office car that's all wooden that I'm fixing up to we use on our railroad. So it goes pretty deep.
Russ, you're officially the second person I've met who has his own railroad car. Do you go and stay on it for the person I know has got it outfitted so he can spend weekends or even weeks on it?
Well, mine's pretty humble right now. I want to make it into a camp car so volunteers could stay on it on the railroad, and we could also we our railroad hosts the Common Ground Fair, which is the best way to get to the fair is to come get on the Belfast Moosehead Light and come to the Common Ground Fair. So my dream is to have it on the consist so we can carry baby carriages and stuff back and forth to the fair, and then maybe people volunteer and can stay on the car too.
George, tell me about how you came to love trains.
As a young child, I had a model railroad. My father's started building it on a 4x8 sheet of plywood, and that was part of my interest. My grandfather worked on the Delaware, Lackawanna, and Western Railroad in upstate New York. He was the train master in Binghamton. And so, as a young teenage boy, I used to hang out at the railroad station and ride engines and see passenger trains and freight trains, and that started it. And then more recently, in 2009, I joined the Down East Scenic Railroad in Ellsworth, and they were starting to put together passenger service. It actually started the next year in 2010, and I've been a volunteer there ever since and been a conductor on the passenger trains.
I understand you're also a bit of a history buff. So, George, tell us about what it would have been like if we could turn the clock back, oh, let's say 150 years in Maine, maybe 100 years in Maine. How many trains were there? How many people were traveling by train? How much freight was moved by train?
There was quite a bit. In fact, passenger service really started in 1830s. The very first railroad in the state was the Bangor and Piscataquis Canal Railroad in the Bangor area. And then following that in like 1868, the Bangor and Aroostook Railroad started. I think the Belfast and Moosehead Lake Railroad started in like 1870, and that the Maine Central started as a railroad in 1862. So there were a number of railroads in the late 1800s that were operating both passenger and freight service in the state.
And really all over the state, right?
Yes, from southern Maine all the way up through northern Maine, that they there were railroads that were being put together. The Aroostook Valley Railroad, which went from Washburn to Presque Isle, that started in in the late 1800s. So all across the state, they were developing railroads. Some were passenger and some were freight, because obviously lumbering was a big issue, a big item to be carried at that point. And there were not only what they call standard gauge railroads, but there were narrow gauge railroads that were the standard railroad gauges, 8 feet, 4 feet, 8.5 inches wide. The narrow gauge were 2 feet and 3 foot wide. And they were, a lot of those were built specifically to carry lumber.
Mm. And Russ, I'll turn to you. People know, of course, the main narrow gauge railroad in Portland is one of those narrow gauge railroads that's operating today, where people can take a very short scenic ride. Are there others operating that are the narrow gauge railroads?
Well, yes. You mean tourist railroads? Or,
yes.
Okay, so we got the Down East Scenic, of course, where George is, the Belfast Moosehead Lake, where I am. Let's see, what else have we got? We have regular commercial railroads. What else we got for major gauge in Maine?
We'll get an update on the current rail service in just a moment. I was asking you about the historic narrow gauge railroad. What else is running in Maine that's historic narrow gauge railroad? Was what I was asking.
Well, okay, the Sandy River and Rangeley Lake and the Portland Railroad that you just mentioned. The Sandy River and Rangeley Lakes it's got a beautiful set up there. They've added track in the last few years, and those engines are run on their steam. They're steam locomotives, and they're down in the Wiscasset area, actually in Alna, New Alna, Maine.
Wonderful. George, a big part of what is important to you is the historic preservation of these tourist trains. What is it that you want people to feel when they climb on board?
Well, we're taking engines and cars. For our railroad at the Down East Scenic, some of the cars were passenger cars, were built in the early 1900s. Some are made of wood, some are metal. And those cars, we have restored them both cosmetically and operationally so they can be used. And we have the engines are, most of those were built in the 1948-1950 timeframe, and those, just keeping them operational so that they can be in service and be used, and people can view and see what travel was like in those days when they ride on our railroad.
Joining us now, Nathan Moulton, who is Director of the Office of Freight and Passenger Services for Maine's Department of Transportation. Nate, thanks for giving us a call. As you probably heard, we're talking about the scenic and historic railroads that are operating in Maine. But I was just going to ask you to bring us up to speed. What is operating right now, both freight and passenger service?
So what's operating right now are on state-owned lines. So a little tidbit, state owns about 600 miles of track throughout the state. And of that, about 320 miles is what we consider active or under active lease. So we have two freight operators, and then we have the two excursion operators. And you're talking to folks today who kind of represent those folks. So that's kind of the lay of the land as far as the state-owned railroads. Obviously, you know, there's over 1,000 miles of privately owned rail here as well. And so we kind of oversee, as a gentleman here, Nate Howard, who oversees a rail program currently, works in our office. And so it's, you know, it's an important piece of the transportation system in what we do. And again, we'd encourage folks, you know, if you're interested in railroads and getting the nostalgia has been talked about, good chance to either Down East Scenic or Belfast and Moosehead Lake and going out and seeing those folks.
But, Nate, I guess I was asking a little more specific question. I know people can ride the Amtrak Down East, or that's a passenger train that goes from Brunswick through Portland and all the way to Boston. But I'm wondering, as far as freight service, the Down Easter is the only passenger train that's carrying, modern train that's carrying passengers in Maine today. But what about freight service? What parts of Maine are served by freight service today?
So the bulk of the state, where there's population is is served today. The kind of the newest wrinkle, if you will, in the system, we've managed to attract a couple what they call Class 1 railroads, the large railroad operators in the country. So CSX has taken over the Pan Am Railway system. That was about 3 years ago, big event, as well as Canadian Pacific, Kansas City Southern, taking over what was the Central Maine and Quebec, which was part of the old Bangor and Aroostook. And then up north in Aroostook County, Maine Northern Railway operates up there. That's one of the Irving Railroads, and that's on state-owned lines, so serves Aroostook and Piscataquis counties. And then the last one is kind of the St. Lawrence and Atlantic that operates part of the Genesee and Wyoming system, operates out of Auburn into Canada as well. And so if folks are interested in kind of getting updated, from the state's potential on the system and things like that, the state published its rail plan in March of this year, and it's up on our website. So folks can kind of go take a look at that and see, what's out there.
And Nate, we will return to that subject, the state's rail plan and the future of rails in Maine, on a later program. Today we're talking about enthusiasts, and today I want to ask you, how did you get excited about trains?
So I won't say that I was forced into it, but I was kind of forced into it when I worked on the original Downeaster project going back to 1995, and that's how I got my kind of feet wet, if you will, around railroads. And then from that, it grew. I spent a lot of time, obviously, on that project and out with experienced railroaders, if you will, whether they're operating people or inspectors walking track, and through a three-year rehabilitation project in three states, getting that process up and running. So that's where I kind of, if you will, get the bug or got my experience. And from that, came back to the DOT and ran the rail program for a number of years, and now kind of oversee it along with several other modes in the freight and passenger office. So
you caught the bug.
I have to admit, like, unlike Russ, I don't have a rail car.
Not yet? Right.
No.
Well, Nate, thank you so much for calling in. Nate Moulton with the Office of Freight and Passenger Services for MDOT. Are you a rail enthusiast? Give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Or send a brief email, talk@mainepublic.org. We'll be right back.
Maine Calling is made possible by listener contributions, along with Portside Real Estate Group, a woman-owned brokerage helping individuals with the buying and selling process across Maine for over a decade. PortsideRealEstateGroup.com. Seashore Trolley Museum in Kennebunkport, offering heritage railway trolley rides and interactive transit exhibits and displays. TrolleyMuseum.org. And The Cedars, a nonprofit senior living community in Portland since 1929, offering independent living at the atrium, thecedarsportland.org.
On Maine history, right here on Maine Calling. You know, when you tune into Maine Public Radio, you're going to find interesting, engaging, and perhaps surprising programming. Mm-hmm. The history of trains in Maine, something that not everyone knows about. Certainly, I'm learning something today. My name is Ari Snyder. I'm a reporter here with Maine Public Radio, joined in the studio by my newsroom colleague, host and reporter, Robbie Feinberg. We're asking for your support today during Maine Public's DIRIGO Drive. Step up and make your contribution to keep all of this interesting, engaging programming going. 1-800-866-1475 or mainepublic.org. And, of course, because we're in Maine Calling, just want to emphasize the donation number is different from the Maine Calling number. To make your donation, call 1-800-866-1475 or go online to mainepublic.org.
Yeah, and Ari, when I think about just even what we've heard so far, it's one of my favorite things about Maine Calling, where it takes this subject of trains and trains enthusiasts. And, we see railroads all around the state, and, you might just walk over a line, something like that, but you don't think much of it. And this is really uncovering that history, I feel like. It's adding those new insights. It's providing you with, talking about railroads that were started in the 1870s, centuries ago, getting to really learn that history. That is what Maine Calling is able to do, and it is able to do it on that local level, that statewide level that, you know, nowhere else is able to do that. Your support is what allows us to bring you those kinds of stories on these incredibly intriguing, interesting topics. You make that possible, so call right now to show your support, 1-800-866-1475.
Absolutely, Robbie. And, you know, everyone who donates right now will automatically get $25 in farmers market vouchers. That's courtesy of our friends at Lee Auto Malls. Just want to give a real shout out to Lee Auto Malls. They are stalwart supporters. So make your call now or go online to make a donation and you'll get $25 in farmers market vouchers. You know, Robbie, I'm a gardener. Things are popping off this time of year. Now is the time to get to the farmers market. The tomatoes are ripe. The kale is large and bountiful. The peppers are coming in. So make that call, get that $25 in farmers market vouchers, courtesy again of our friends at Lee Auto Malls. Thank you so much for stepping up and making that support. The number to call to get that voucher, 1-800-866-1475. Or mainpublic.org.
Yeah, think about all the different shows that you've heard from Maine Calling, all the different interesting topics that they're able to bring you every single day. I was just thinking about some other recent shows that Maine Calling has done, and they've really taken on these passions and pastimes that are so central to Maine. There's been topics and programs about boat building, about alpacas, about ice cream in Maine. Like, Maine Calling is telling these programs that are so quintessentially Maine, and your donation is what truly does make that possible. The number again to donate, 1-800-866-1475.
1-800-866-1475 or mainpublic.org. Again, all of this programming is truly thanks to you. Your dollars make such a difference when it comes to keeping this engaging, varied programming going. 1-800-866-1475 or mainpublic.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and we are talking all about trains and train buffs. This program is part of our Passions and Pastimes series on Maine Calling. With me, our own George Thomas. He works in radio and TV operations here at Maine Public and is also a volunteer conductor for Down East Scenic Railroad. And Russ Barber, former president and current VP of Maine Rail Group. Share your comments and questions. Let us know about your favorite train ride, or if you want some advice from these two about fun train rides in Maine, you can send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. I will quickly read a Facebook post. This is from Leah. She writes, "We are visiting from Minnesota, where we volunteer with the Minnesota Transportation Museum, where I am a brakeman and my son volunteers with the mechanics. We are delighted to enjoy the Down East Scenic Railroad and the Eastern Maine Model Railway while we visit. And of course, the amazing narrow gauge in Alna. Amazing work by the conductor and brakeman using the handbrake." So thank you so much for this. And I'm going to turn to my colleague now, Erwin Gratz, who is joining us. He happens to be a train enthusiast. And Erwin, one of the reasons I read that Facebook post right before coming to you is I know that you also at times have scheduled vacations around trains.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, it's one of my favorite ways to travel, and has been ever since I was a little boy growing up in New York, riding the subway. You know, I can vividly remember getting on, those people who know New York, the D train at 205th Street, sitting on my knees so I could be tall enough to look out the window, just kind of waiting for those moments that flash by when you're in a subway train, when the wall gives way to a cavern because the tracks are going past a switch. Or what's really exciting, of course, is zipping through stations on an express run. You know, when you thought you were just kind of flying through there, even though I later realized trains in New York go about 45 miles an hour. But it's, I go way back.
Why do you think riding trains holds such a romantic appeal for you and for other people?
You know, I suppose for me, it was different. You know, growing up, most of the time, if you were getting around, it was by car, if we were going out to visit relatives, or during the week, it was using a bus to take us from our neighborhood down to a shopping district. So a train was a rare treat, and was just fascinating.
Okay, before you go, what is your favorite train ride? What's the one that you still dream about?
Oh boy, my favorite train rides are probably still subway rides, especially express subway rides. I mean, there's just something kind of fascinating about them. But you know, but I've also taken some long distance trips on Amtrak, which I've really enjoyed. In 2017, we rode the Empire Builder from Chicago all the way out to Portland, Oregon. It was a great trip. And just a lot of fun to do.
Thank you, Erwin. Erwin Gratz, of course, Maine Public's Morning Edition host, who happens to know a lot about trains and other transportation as well. But that's for another day. We're going to go to Kathleen, who's calling from Westbrook. Hi, Kathleen. Go ahead.
Hi. I want to tell about my favorite special train ride, which I did in Iran.
Whoa. Tell us about it.
The country of Iran. Yeah, so that was in 2019. I ended up going there because I'm an avid folk dancer, and I was at a folk dance workshop on Armenian dance, and the person leading it said that she was going to be leading a dance trip to Armenia, but she was also going to be leading a trip to Iran, not for dance, but for culture, and they were going to be back to back. So I thought, okay, I'm going. So we were 11 days in Iran, and we traveled from the north in Tehran to the south by van, but we got to take an overnight train coming back for a 13-hour train, and I'd never done an overnight train, so I was extremely excited, and it was just a wonderful trip. They kept serving us food, like, from the moment we got there. We arrived, and they served us cupcakes, cucumbers, and oranges, and then later on it was tea or coffee, and then later on it was lemonade, and then after that it was supper. And it was, and we got to, you know, just look out the window at all the scenery and what was passing us, what we were passing. We saw farmers, and we saw people, we saw shepherds with their sheep, and we saw someone training a horse. And the train made several stops very, very early in the morning for 15 minutes each, where people could get out, men would get out and go to prayer and then get back on the train.
Fascinating. Kathleen, thank you so much for calling and sharing your experience with us. And Russ, you know, I'm surprised Kathleen's the first person to say this, but I'm thinking part of the appeal of riding by train is seeing things that you're not going to see by the road, from the road.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I've traveled and I got to travel in China. We're looking for steam trains and stuff. What China does is they have overnight trains. They'll leave in the evening and go from one city, and you arrive in another city later in that night. So we got to do that a bunch of times with our little group. I exclusively travel with some British rail fans, and we've got into these different areas and got to visit the things. I also went to Cuba back in the early years, because there's some old American steam locomotives that were servicing the sugarcane fields in Cuba. So we went and were riding on those there to see those different. I travel with the British, but at one point I got an opportunity. I got cut away from the other group, and I got an opportunity to ride up in one of the locomotives in Cuba, The engineer hopped out of the seat, and he hopped onto the coal car, and then we were sitting there, and somebody got out and literally called for another train on an old wooden phone box. This is in 2002. This is in the modern world, okay? So all of a sudden, the engineer just looked at me, and he just pointed at me, and he took his finger, waved at me, and said, "Go ahead." And I had my moment, and I grabbed the throttle and put it in the forward gear, and I inched the throttle on carefully so I didn't slip the wheels the way I've watched people do. And next thing I know, I'm going down I've got like all these sugarcane cars behind me, and the fireman saying, go faster. And pretty soon we're going along maybe 40, 45 miles an hour, which felt like 100, you know. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, if this thing went off the track right now, I wouldn't give a damn. Who gets to drive a train on the main line in Cuba, you know? And I was like, okay, bucket list complete.
Fun story. Thanks, Russ. We're going to go to Dana, who's calling from Raymond. Hi, Dana. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. I thought I might mention, you had mentioned about what narrow gauge trains were in the state, and it's not a long ride or anything like that, but that Boothbay Railroad Village in Booth Bay Harbor there. There's a narrow gauge train. I think they have a steam engine. They probably also have a diesel, a small diesel type. But yeah, that's, and also up and back in one of the big buildings, they have a model railroad display, and that's roughly 40 feet by 20 wide. And I had worked on that myself, helping to build along with other volunteers. And we even made a display for L.L. Bean for their Christmas activities in the younger people's area. So, you know, the interest is there. And I myself have a layout in the basement. And also I go around, and when I get a chance or hear about it, like the Belfast and Moosehead I'd heard about, and I looked that up and found a number of train cars, cabooses, and things like that, you know, to discover, and even old train stations. So there's a lot to look at, and in Alna, that's a great one. The FF, the WWF railroad is really a neat operation. So,
well, Dana, thank you so much for calling and telling us about the Booth Bay Railroad Village. George, what Dana mentioned about the intersection of folks who build model railroads and those who are train enthusiasts, there's a pretty big overlap if you made a Venn diagram, isn't there?
I'm part of that overlap, and yes, there are a lot of people that have model railroads. There, in fact, is in Springfield, Massachusetts, in January, the Amherst Model Railroad Society holds a very large display and exhibition. It's at the Eastern States Exhibition, and last January, 20,000 people went through and saw those exhibits on a Saturday and a Sunday. So there are quite a bit of the model enthusiasts that are also rail fans as well. And one thing we should also talk about is museum. There are a couple of railroad museums in the state that are quite nice. In Bangor, the Coal Land Transportation Museum has an actual Bangor and Aroostook BL2 engine inside the building as part of their display. And there are a couple of other ones in Oakfield. There's the Oakfield Railroad Museum, and there's one in Fort Fairfield as well. And these museums have preserved a lot of the artifacts from the local area and have them on display.
We'll go to Scott, who's calling from Frankfort. Hi, Scott. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks. I'm going to date myself here. I've ridden equipment as new as the Amtrak stuff, which is a wonderful train. But I'm a nostalgic kind of guy. First rode the trains back in the 1960s. We lived in Albuquerque. My mom's family was in Central Ohio, so every couple of years we'd make a trip. And Santa Fe, we'd usually ride the Chief in one direction as far as Chicago. And coming back, we would ride the El Cap 10, the double-decker. And I guess as nice as the new trains are, I miss the old cars.
Wonderful
sliding doors are one thing. But one of the things that stands out in memory on Santa Fe, you'd get to the highest point on the line, Raton Pass, up on the Colorado line. Of course, these were steam-heated trains. And the train would slow down, and it'd start getting hot in the cars. And the doors, the exit doors from the vestibules out to where you would enter the train, they were Dutch doors. And the porters used to latch those open. And a little shaver like me, of course, I got to find something to get into on a long trip. And they would get the old step that she would usually put down to get to the platform. They put that step inside that Dutch door. I could stand on that and lean over the Dutch door. And used to love doing that when they'd be open. I remember one conductor came by one day. He pointed out to me as we went slowly up through the pass the concrete milepost along the line. So it was a great adventure back then.
Mm. Thank you, Scott, so much for calling in. We do need to go to another break. This is Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.
Community support is what makes Maine Calling possible, together with the Lunder Foundation, founding partner of Maine Public Radio and Maine Public Classical. Evergreen Home Performance, diagnosing why your house gets hot in the summer with energy audits and helping homeowners improve comfort with insulation and air sealing. And Main Street Design Company and Shop at 160 Front Street in downtown Bath, offering full-service interior design, decorative hardware, and select home accents.
From Aroostook County to Downeast Maine to Alna to Booth Bay, Maine Calling brings our state together. That is what we are able to do. It really is able to share these stories and show their impact all across the state. It's what we value so much about the local programming here on Maine Public, and it's made possible because of your support. You can call right now the number 1-800-866-1475 to donate. I'm Robbie Feinberg. I'm the All Things Considered host here at Maine Public. I'm joined by my newsroom colleague, our reporter Ari Snyder, and we are asking for your support for programs like Maine Calling. The number again, 1-800-866-1475.
Absolutely, Robbie. Great to be here with you. You know, one of the things that stands out to me about Maine Calling is, you know, as you and I know as reporters, the news tends to move really, really fast. And sometimes we know this both as reporters and, of course, as listeners and, you know, consumers of the news, that sometimes it can feel hard to keep up with everything. One of the things that Maine Calling does is it takes that time to slow down and to go deep into a particular conversation and hear from people all over the state, right? I mean, that's our chance, you know, for people to call in from all over the state, share their experience, share their knowledge and their expertise. That's why I like listening to Maine Calling, not just because of our wonderful hosts and producers on that show who we get to work with, but hearing from everyone across the state. There's so much knowledge and experience out there, and we see that on display during Maine Calling when you are calling in. And now we are asking you to call a different phone number to keep programs like this going, keep programs like Maine Calling on the air, 1-800-866-1475 to make your donation today. Again, that number, to be clear, is different from the number to call into Maine Calling. So again, the donation number, 1-800-866-1475. You can also go online, make your donation at mainepublic.org.
And we have a room full of volunteers here. They are waiting for your call right now to donate. They are being fueled by Big Sky Bread for lunch. Thank you so much to Big Sky Bread. That is helping to fuel us as we continue going. And I mean, Ari, as we've already heard today, you mentioned the curiosity that really emanates from Maine Calling. What I also love about today's show is that we are hearing from Maine Publicers as well. George Thomas is, a wonderful, wonderful Maine Public employee. Erwin Gratz, who just only a few feet away from us in the Maine Public office. But they show the curiosity, they show the knowledge, they show what we have here at our station every single day, and we are powered by you. Your donation makes all of this possible. The number again to donate, 1-800-866-1475.
1-800-866-1475 or mainepublic.org. These programs that you rely on every day when you tune into Maine Public, knowing what program is going to be on air, that's thanks to you. That's thanks to your donation. It is no accident that Maine Public has been on air for 60 plus years, is moving, moving courageously into the future. That is because there is such a strong depth of support. 1-800-866-1475 or mainepublic.org. Make your donation today. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. We're learning about trains, railways, places to ride, and why people are so passionate about trains. This is part of our Passions and Pastimes series. With me today, Russ Barber with Maine Rail Group and George Thomas with Downeast Scenic Railroad. Join our conversation, 1-800-399-3566. Again, the number for Maine Calling, 1-800-399-3566. I want to read a couple emails. This one here from Eric, who is a chaplain. He says, I am a hospice chaplain here in Maine. Some of the older men I meet didn't attend church regularly, so we talk about other things. At the end of my visit, I always ask if I can say a prayer and sing them a hymn. One gentleman listened to me sing a popular hymn and then asked if I knew a particular hymn his father used to sing in the truck. It was Life is Like a Mountain Road. And so he gave us the lyrics to that. I will read the first verse. Life is like a mountain road with an engineer that's brave. We must make the run successful from the cradle to the grave. Watch the curves, the fills, the tunnels. Never falter, never fail. Keep your hand upon the throttle and your eye upon the rail. So, Eric, thank you so much for that lovely email. An email here from Ralph. My favorite ride is on the historic Wiscasset, Waterville, and Farmington 2-foot gauge railroad in Alna. The train runs on an original right-of-way in Alna and Sheepscut. The railroad has 3 steam locomotives, are even building their own new steam locomotive, which visitors can watch being built. And it is a great, he says, it is a great place to visit, and staff and volunteers are doing a wonderful job. So, George, I know that you really wanted to talk about education, and it sounds like the Wiscasset, Waterville, and Farmington Railroad is a great, you know, if you want to learn how a train got built, what a great opportunity that Ralph is mentioning.
Yes, the volunteers there do a great job in restoring and creating a whole new engine that they're running there. And a lot of the tourist railroads are involved in education. At the Down East Scenic, every June, we have school children that come and ride the train. We do special rides with several busloads of children, and this happens on multiple days and towards the end of their semester in June. And we take the children, teach them about the railroad, show them the engine, the cars, how the tracks are put together. It's quite an educational experience. And I don't know the exact number of children we travel with each year, but it's quite a large number. And that's all part of our educational outreach plan that we do.
Sure. And I bet teachers build history lessons around it. That seems like a wonderful way to learn some history.
Yes, that goes on quite a bit. I think the teachers do prepare in class the day before they bring the students to the train. And we've had quite a success with that.
An email here from Jeremy. The Boston and Maine Railroad used to run long camper trains from Boston to Maine summer camps. When did this start? Where did it go? How long did it last? And how many campers use this service? Russ, do you know the answer to Jeremy's question?
Yeah, I do have a good general comment. Yes, Boston and Maine ran service all the way up to Downey, actually all the way up to up on the Down East line there, and went various hotels and stuff around the state, the summer hotels. There was all sorts of trains that go to all the different lakes, went up to the Mount, up to Mount Kineo, connected with in some cases steamboats and so forth. And before the automobile came in, that was the way. They had special trains and extra trains all throughout the state. So that was that would have been in the 1800s and the all the way up, and probably George could probably correct me, because you would know when they stopped bringing the trains down. And eventually you had to take a ferry ride from the Boston and Maine to Acadia. And then later on, they made a junction that would connect closer. But the camp trains went all over the state. And then also back in the mid part of the 20th century, there was Boy Scout jamborees, and they would bring Boy Scouts up to different places. So there were special trains for different seasons and stuff. And then Boston and Maine up into the White Mountains especially had ski trains up until I think into the early 1960s, where you could actually get on a train in Boston and get off at some of the early ski slopes in New Hampshire.
George, anything to add to that?
Yeah, the Down East Scenic Railroad in Ellsworth was constructed in around 1884. And at that point, they started with passenger service, and it grew. At first, it went from Philadelphia and New York, Boston, and then to Bangor, and then from Bangor out to Ellsworth. And the train at first went to Hancock Point, where the passengers boarded a steamer boat and went across Frenchman's Bay to Bar Harbor. And that's how the initial influx of passengers went to Bar Harbor. And there were a lot of people in that time who rode the railroads. Some of the people had their own private rail cars. You know, the Rockefellers, the Tafts, Teddy Roosevelt, that sort of thing. All of those people were vacationing down east in Mount Desert Island and that area. And they would ride the trains from Philadelphia and Washington and New York on up to Mount Desert Island.
Oh, it's so interesting you mentioned that, George. Several years ago, I had the privilege of interviewing David Rockefeller, and he talked about a train trip his family took across country. And the whole, it wasn't just the train car, the whole train was theirs. But there was an incredible exhibit at the Abbey Museum of some of the art and artifacts that his family purchased on that trip. Here's an email from Corliss, and related to what you were saying, my uncle Walter Van Bergen was a police officer on the D&H Railroad. His uncle Herman was a bookkeeper for the D&H, and my dad was a mechanic for the same railroad. The D&H had a small rail yard in the small upstate New York town Green Island. When Franklin Delano Roosevelt was president, the D&H would attach his car to a northbound train headed to Montreal. Once in Montreal, the train car was switched to the Canadian Pacific, which took him over to St. John, New Brunswick. From there, he traveled by car and ferry to Campobello. Uncle Walter was security for the train on those trips. So thank you, Corliss, for sharing that story. We'll go to Lance, who's calling from Elliott. Lance, we're tight on time, so if you could be quick, that'd be great.
Thank you for taking my call, Jennifer. I'm in Elliott, but I'm originally from New York, and one of my best memories with my father before he passed was I was about 6 years old. I had a arm injury. I couldn't go to camp, so I was a little melancholy, and he decided we would take a Amtrak train from New York all the way out to St. Louis, Missouri, to see the arch. And it was just wonderful. Every place we stopped, I would try hot chocolate. I got to taste what hot chocolate tastes like in every state. I remember in the evenings, there were cars that he would go to. They would play bridge or they would play poker, and the kids would run back and forth. And we just had a great time. And it was one of the best memories I've ever had with my father. And it was a way for us to see different landscapes together. It's my first time leaving the state as a boy. It was wonderful. And
what a wonderful dad. Thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you for calling in. We're going to go to Paige calling from Mountville. Hi, Paige, again, tight on time. So if you could be quick, that'd be wonderful.
Okay, I'll be really quick. There's two issues. One is in the 80s, I rode a train from Puerto Montt in Chile. I had just come up from Punta Arenas on a mail boat. And it was built in the, I think, 1920s, early 20s in Germany. And it was just beautiful inside. You know, it had velvet seats and so forth. And you went through the mountains, and it was a really cheap ticket then. And this family, they asked me into their car, and we sat, and they fed me. And it was a real trip, a real train, and that was fun. The other one was I used to ride rail passes in the 70s, and I was coming back from the West Coast, and I stopped in Minneapolis to see some friends. And I watched The Silver Streak, which was a movie with Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor. And at the end of the film, the train coming from Minneapolis, where I was, ran into and exploded into the Chicago train station. And that was a train I was going to get on the next day. And it just made me feel like, this probably isn't a good idea.
Well, Paige, thank you so much for calling and sharing your recollections of life on trains. And I'm going to go to an email here from Ed. There is a group in Bridgeton that is trying to get a Bridgeton narrow gauge train set up on the original route. So are either of you helping with that by chance?
No, but I've heard of their efforts. I applaud their efforts. I think they've managed to get a little piece of track. They want to give it a try.
So the future looks bright for scenic railroads in Maine, and I really appreciate your time for both of you today. Maine Public's George Thomas, a conductor with Down East Scenic Railroad and a VP and treasurer of Down East Rail Heritage Preservation Trust. Russ Barber is the VP of the Maine Rail Group. Today's sound engineer was Sam Tracy. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Our theme song was composed by Mike Jandro. You can visit mainecalling.org to find our past shows. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.
Always something interesting and engaging on Maine Calling here on Maine Public Radio. I'm Ari Snyder, reporter here in the newsroom, joined by my colleague, All Things Considered host Robbie Feinberg. We're asking for your support today. Maine Public, we are in the middle of our Dear Ago drive, raising the money that keeps these programs going long into the future. Why don't you call right now, 1-800-866-1475 or mainepublic.org. We've got a team of volunteers here ready to take your call. 1-800-866-1475 or mainepublic.org.
Yeah, we do have, it is a full house of volunteers here. They are all ready. They are fueled by Big Sky Bread. Thank you so much, Big Sky Bread, for lunch today of some delicious sandwiches and cookies as well, I am seeing. And also one great reason to give as well right now, it is our Farmers Market Friday today on Maine Public Radio. That means that when you make a donation right now, you will automatically receive $25 worth of bumper crop Farmers Market vouchers to use at participating farmers markets statewide. This offer is made possible by our friends at Lee Auto Malls. And again, it is a Farmers Market Friday. So just one little incentive, you know, maybe if you're thinking about donating, it's a great incentive, but also know that your dollars will go towards crucial programs like Maine Calling, Here and Now coming up, All Things Considered Morning Edition. Your donations make that possible. Call right now to show your support, 1-800-866-1475.
Yeah, Robbie, you know, one of the most popular ways of supporting Maine Public is to become an Evergreen Friend. That's where you set up a monthly recurring donation in whatever amount works for you. A lot of Maine Public supporters go that route because it works for them and it works for us, right? Mm-hmm. It's something that you don't have to think about. You sort of set it monthly, automatic payment, again, in whatever amount works for you. And that helps us because as we're looking to plan for the future, new programs, new positions, new initiatives, we have a sense of the support that we can count on. Mm-hmm. So become an Evergreen Friend today by calling 1-800-866-1475. And you'll be able to set up a monthly automatic contribution to Maine Public, again, in whatever amount works for you, or go online to mainepublic.org and make your donation there. And of course, as Robbie mentioned, great reason to make that donation right now, make it today, is you will get a $25 farmers market voucher that you can use at farmers markets around the state, courtesy of our friends at Lee Auto Malls. 1-800-866-1475 or mainepublic.org.
And Ari, I'll just say as well, you know, you called that Evergreen Friend way of donating automatic. I find it really, really a great way to donate as well, because I get to see it show up every month on my credit card statement. I get to see it and go, oh yeah, I am donating to Maine Public. It's reminding me that, yeah, my donation is going to support Maine Public every single month. It's one of my favorite ways, for the reason that I do donate as an Evergreen Friend as well, that you get reminded every single month, your donation is going to support this important programming. Make that donation right now by calling 1-800-866-1475.
Absolutely. You know, and it, you know, Robbie, it's not just something that we say that your donation matters. It really does. 75% of the funding for Maine Public comes from listeners just like you. So in whatever amount you are donating, that money is so crucial to keeping this service going, to keeping all the programming going. And of course, the different shows you hear locally and nationally, right? Like, you know, all of your the contributions that you give, that brings you the programming that you rely on. 1-800-866-1475 or mainepublic.org, and know that you are very, very seriously making a difference.
Yeah, think about all the different ways that you connect to Maine Public as well, whether that is on the radio, programs like Maine Calling. We have got newsletters every single day, every single week. We've got our TV side. We've even got our Maine Public app as well that you can go to. We've got our social media accounts that are always wonderful and full of fun as well. There are so many ways that Maine Public is there for you during a day. Think about all those different ways and think about what you can donate to ensure that they continue. Make that call right now. Call 1-800-866-1475.